Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's propswap.com, promo code SGP. We're brought to you by PicksWise. PicksWise is the number one app for free sports betting picks, props and parlays. Download the free PicksWise app now to make your next bet better. And we're also brought to you by OddsCrowd. Are you the best football bettor in the US? OddsCrowd challenges you to prove it with their free-to-play fantasy betting contests. OddsCrowd gives away hundreds of dollars in weekly contests, including the $100 SGPN exclusive free roll contest. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, up on the sunny northeast coast of England in Newcastle, and 4,000 and something miles away in undoubtedly sunny Houston, Texas, is Mr. Munaf Manji. Munaf, good afternoon. Good morning, probably, where you are. How are you today?
Good. We're approaching noon. I know you and I kind of have a day game here, at least for me, but
yeah, it's an early start.
A little different scenario here, but I'm trying to do my best to keep track of these days. I mean, I feel like I'm grinding out a podcast every single day. There's just so much going on in sports and things like that, but it's fun, right? I can't complain that I get to watch sports and talk about sports and write about sports. But it's getting interesting in baseball for sure. I know we have NFL going on, all these other different types of sports, but I'm doing well, man. It's a lot of stuff going on. How are things going with you?
I feel like with the NFL, there was a lot of excitement for me when it first started. The first weekend, there's a lot of build up.
Yeah.
And now we're into week, I feel like I've already settled after week two, and I've got like 1.5 back on the MLB again.
Yeah.
I think the NFL will keep ticking itself along for the next 4 or 5 weeks, yeah. while the baseball sort of elevates itself again. So I'm pleased that hasn't happened intentionally. But I do think that I'm settled with NFL. It's not as much as a grind to do your weekly waivers because on fantasy and whatever, and your bet. It's kind of once a week if you can dedicate 1 hour to it on a Wednesday for your waivers, and then maybe an hour to making your betting picks on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. Then that's all it needs. Where MLB, you have to. It's 20 minutes,
yeah,
three times a day.
Yeah.
You have to get in advance. Then you have to check the lineups. And you have to do that for the early kicks, the mid kicks, the late kicks, and you name it. Like, so. But no, as you said, Munaf, it is getting exciting. It's been another busy week. There's games. The games now have a lot riding on them, don't they? There's no, we lost that series, but we can get it back further down the line, because there isn't much further down the line to get things back. So before we get into this week's news and notes, we'll relive our picks. I think we had Monday this week, and I think we did all right, Munaf, with what we fetched out.
Yeah, we did okay. Unfortunately for myself, I think my dog Oh, sorry, my lock got postponed yesterday because of weather.
There was some weather about. Yeah, we lost
three games.
We lost about three.
Yeah, three games that we lost last week due to postponement. So I had Royals money line, but like I said, it got postponed. But Malcolm and myself had the double lock on the Tigers money line as our dog for the first five innings. It ended up pushing, but at the end, the Tigers got the win. At the end, the bullpen didn't blow it up as we thought it would have. But nonetheless, I think you're happy with a push rather than taking the loss. But it's crazy now that I know we were talking offline when the game went off, Malcolm, that now that we took the first five innings money line, it ended up pushing versus taking the full game money line, which was creates kind of a conundrum or a dilemma, like you put on our notes. But I mean, that's kind of where I stood, and I'll let you get into your log. But I think for as our dog, I think we were right on it. I mean, the Tigers looked good, and it was a day game in Detroit. I think the weather was a little bit of a factor there, but I mean, I'll take a push over loss any time of the day, especially where you have a first five innings bet. No, you're on mute, Malcolm.
Hello. Sorry. Do you know why I put myself on mute? Because I am the most English man in the world, and I always have a cup of tea, Moonaf. And what I don't want is you to hear me slurping my cup of tea, so I stick it on mute. And as I was dragging the scores up, I haven't unmuted myself. There's a certain irony in the fact that we pushed on the first five and lost on the money line. When I made my little impassioned speech on Monday night about how I was showing development and growth and learning, and actually, as that game was going on Tuesday night, I play like fat man football with my friends, and me and my friend got in the car on the way home, and I was telling him this very thing, the run line, first five, stuff like this, and I was saying that I was learning things. Yeah. And I was really pleased because I actually thought we'd taken it on the money line. I saw it was 2-2 when we started playing football. We got back in the car afterwards and they were leading by 5-3. And I was like, oh, well, this has worked this time. And as I was telling him, you sent me the message saying, oh, well, I'll take a push. And I was like, oh, shit, we got it the other way around again. So again, the process was correct, if not necessarily the result, because the Tigers did go on to win that one. But yeah, you'll take a push. We're a little bit unfortunate. We did everything right, really, apart from the runs didn't quite go in the order in which we needed them. My lock was a fairly bloodless one. It wasn't the best price. I think I messaged you on Tuesday morning. It was the Mets and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And it was around about -180, I think.
No, it was minus like 140.
No, yeah, sorry. Yeah, minus 140. Yeah, which was all right. As I say, it wasn't hugely prohibitive. And it kind of went pretty much exactly to plan, really.
Yeah.
The Mets did get out to a 2-0 lead in the fourth, but then Boston scored six runs across the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. Ended up winning the game 6-3, fairly bloodlessly. So that series, in fact, has pretty much gone entirely to plan. So
yeah.
So we did all right. Scott... his lock went down, which was the Phillies run line against the Orioles on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I just trying to fetch out the final score in that
4-3.
4-3, yeah. So
the bullpen messed it up.
Yeah, the Phillies have made hard work of this. This was the run of games that we talked about. We'll probably get onto it in a little while. Phillies made relatively hard work of this. But Scott did pick up his dog on Tuesday, which will put him in profit for the week, which was the Red Hot Cardinals.
Yep.
The first five money line. Woodford against Woodruff, and Cardinals and Woodford did the job there. So what's that? 1-2, maybe 2-1 with a couple of with a push.
Yeah.
2-1 with a push for postponement.
Yep.
We'll take that every night of the week. And you happen to notice, Moonaf, that generally on tally site, me, yourself, and Will, we're having a good week.
We're having a real great week. I've been finding myself picking a lot more underdogs over there on the website. Just because we've been talking about betting underdogs in the month of September, I think I had picked, I don't know how many last night and throughout the week. So it all comes into the fact of, we've talked about your average winnings in the money meter that they kind of keep track for us on tally site. So I think we're both at 65%+ for the week. Willis, I believe he's close to 60% also. So it's been a pretty great week for us so far. It's crazy because, you know, when we're trying to, or at least when I'm trying to handicap my picks for the show, it's almost like it seems so much harder to do versus when we just go on Tally Side every day and just make our picks and just submit it there where we're hitting like 60 to 65% over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, make sure to, I know one of the guys had mentioned on the MLB Slack channel that, you know, they're looking at our picks on the, from Tally Side on the website. So I think that's a great resource.
That's good news.
Yeah. So that's a great resource too, if you have any picks that you want from the three of us, from myself, Malcolm, and Will, definitely check it out on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just hit that MLB tab. You'll see MLB picks. We usually do a pretty great job of getting the picks up very, very early in the day. So definitely check it out there. But, you know, I think we got to give ourselves a little kudos for the week that we're having so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I knew I was doing okay. Whenever it starts with a six, the percentage, I'm quite happy. But I've just dragged up the leaderboard for the entire week. Yeah, and it's kind of better than I thought. So you are top and I am second with your money meter based on a $10 bet. You're 92.92 in front and I'm 87.78. And then the drop-off behind that to the third-place analyst from some other podcast is 45. So we're kind of doing twice as well. Accuracy of 64% for both of us. So, yeah, really, really good. Quite very impressive stuff there, Moonaf. So, yeah, we will pat ourselves on the back. I know we can be slightly self-deprecating. We had our back-to-back 1 and 5 weeks, but and I'm pleased that the Slack channel and people are taking notice because we've said before, ride the hot hands.
Yeah.
I think where I've been doing better is when I found myself kind of torn between in a game, not knowing which side to take. Is that I've just gone for the dog because we know that was the line to take this month. So if I've been going a little bit backwards and forwards, not knowing which way to do it, just go for the bigger price. And it's reflected in our results this week. While we're on that subject, then Moonaf, we will cover this the September dogs. We were at 2,000 and a little bit when we spoke on Monday night. Where are we as of today?
Yeah, I think we left this off on the September 19th, where it was minus $158 based upon betting $100 on every single underdog. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you've been your week has been pretty good. I think that you would be up around $683. I believe what today's Thursday. So Tuesday and Wednesday kind of canceled each other out. You would have been up plus $2, but Monday was a real big day for underdogs. I think you would have cashed plus $681 for the grand total to the month, bringing us right about plus $2,700 for the month of September so far. So we have about a week left for the month of September. Definitely, this is going to be something we're going to do every single season and keep an eye on for sure as far as betting the underdogs for every single month, or sorry, for the month of September, because no, we're keeping track of it here. And, you know, we have the example right in front of you that the dogs are cashing in the month of September. And I think last night was a pretty good example. I know last night we were talking the Slack channel that I picked the Rockies. I believe you did also, Malcolm, against the Dodgers last night. And I think there are some of the guys on the first five inning money line for the Rockies. And then also I pointed out the splits from Cole Irvin that we had talked about on the show also about how bad he is. And the Mariners team total was only at 3.5 last night. And you know, a lot of guys took the Mariners first five inning money lines with cash. And then we also got the late win on the Mariners team total last night. So if you're not in our Slack channel, get in there, sg.pn/Slack. We're always talking about baseball things in there. And if there's no action going on a particular night, there's always baseball. So the conversation somewhere, somehow always gets started. So glad we were able to make some money last night in the Slack channel.
Yeah, the September underdog train has been absolutely fantastic. If you want a risk-free $1,000 sports bet to start the ball rolling and get some little underdogs under your belt, get over to WinBet, where the great promos, odds and payouts happening right now. Boosted parlays and game odds on every major sport. They have what you need to win. ready to play? Sign up today to receive that special offer, the risk-free $1,000 sports bet. It's an unbelievable offer. Download, bet, and win. Download the WinBet app. Visit wynnbet.com to start winning. We'll give you the winners. We can't do everything for you, though. So get over there, open your account, get your $1,000 and fill your boots. Okay, week's news, Moona, for the Rays and the Jays. What are they playing at? That's been, it's been a good series, but it's been kind of overshadowed by the shenanigans.
Did you see what happened here? This was interesting. I didn't see this note come across till, I believe it was the next day. So I guess Kevin Kiermaier, or long story short, was headed into home plate. He slid, I think, was out by the catcher tagged him, and I think they had a collision there. And I think one of the pinch hitting hitter notes, I think, fell out of the catcher for the Blue Jays. I guess the wristband that they have, where they're kind of looking at their signs and signals and, you know, things to call. So I think it fell out, and then Kiermaier looked down. He saw, he was laying there for a second, and then he kind of looked down and saw the paper. He stared at it for a couple seconds, and then he kind of just picked it up and took it into the dugout, to the Rays dugout. And I think that they had a couple guys come up there, and I think pinch hitters got they got the victory there with the pinch hitter. So I read that the two managers the next day got together, had a conversation about it, and then I think in the eighth inning yesterday, I think this was the last game between the two teams, that one of the bullpen guys in the eighth inning, I think it was Kiermaier's last at bat, hit him, obviously intentionally hit him with the pitch. And then I think that led to benches clearing. Nothing major happened, but some of the Blue Jays players the managers were upset. But I think that was something worth noting. Obviously, the pitcher did get ejected for intentionally throwing at Kevin Kiermaier, but you know, this was one of the more of the bigger storylines that was kind of catching the MLB news wire between, I think, Tuesday and yesterday. So that was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, it did seem kind of a mountain out of a molehill. Obviously, the little card fell out of, I think it was Alejandro Kirk, possibly the Blue Jays catcher.
Right.
Fell out of his little wristband, like you say.
Yeah.
It just shows how much information. I know analytics is a huge thing, and I don't want to sound like the old bloke, but how much info people carry. You see them checking their caps. The fielders check their caps now, pretty much on every count almost. Yeah. They have to, on a certain count, they have to shift 3 feet to the left or four steps to the right or what have you. So I don't actually know what effect it had on the game. But the retaliation thing, it's probably about the fifth time this season we've had cause to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it just permanently winds me up. It's just ridiculous. Ryan Barucki was thrown out, as was the pitching coach as well, I think, who came on for a bit of an argument. But I watched that game last night, and the Rays just squeezed and squeezed and squeezed the Blue Jays to within an inch of their life. And the Rays looked like the absolute real deal. And I'm kind of embarrassed that when we did our pre-season thing, I was fading them again, and it was just such a lazy take for me to fade them, because I don't think they haven't got the star names. I don't think they'll be as good. They always manufacture a playoff run in a great team, but I don't think they can do it this season. And I just fell into the trap that everyone else has fallen into for years and years and years. And I'd like to think I was probably a little bit better than that, because they've just been absolutely outstanding, and are going to be a real proper team in the playoffs.
Yeah, the thing with the Rays is that every single year, all these experts want to pick the Yankees and they want to pick the Red Sox, but the Rays, for some way, somehow, they dig and claw and find ways to win games, whether it's with pitching, whether it's with hitting. But I think this division is going to be very, very interesting going forward for the next couple of years, because we've talked about at Blue Jays, at extent that they've kind of revamped their roster in this past off season. They have a pretty legitimate, you know, hitting lineup. They have some good pitchers in the rotation now, but the Rays are always that feisty team that just finds ways to win, like I said. And you know, when you have a division with the Yankees and the Red Sox, I think that there's always going to be value on the Rays in the future markets, at least, to maybe, you know, win the division or even, you know, make the playoffs. So definitely something that we're going to keep in mind as the Rays did clinch a playoff spot going into the postseason for this year.
I know you just said that they always find a way of doing it. You're not quite sure how. Down the farm system of the Rays, I think the five teams at the five lower levels beneath MLB, so AAA down, have all either won their league or reached the finals or the playoffs. So, I mean, they're just bred winning, that culture. And that's something that winning is, you can have all the talent in the world, but winning itself is a skill.
Yeah.
And it's something that they're obviously embedding in their players and in their organization, from single A, high A, whatever it might be, rookie ball, all the way through. It's not a coincidence that they've got five winning teams there at five different levels. And then when players like Randy Arozarena or even all these pitchers that you've never heard of come up, they're ready to win because they know how to do it. And getting over the line itself is a skill in itself. So, yeah, not a surprise at all. And I say I apologise to any Rays fans and the Rays for why just a bit of a bone idle take, and I wouldn't let it happen again. St. Louis Cardinals, moon off 11 wins in a row, first time since forever they've done that. On September the 7th, they had a 2.7% chance of reaching the playoffs. As we speak right now, moon off, it is a 94% chance. Wow. That's a bit of a swing. How's that happened?
11 wins in a row, and I think that's pretty much, I think, the what the handicap is. I think the bats have gotten hot. I think every single person in this lineup is contributing, from their two star batters with Goldschmidt and Arenado, but you're also getting contributions from Tyler O'Neill, Sosa, batter Edmund, the whole lineup, and I think the pitching has been really good also. And they've just been aggressive on the base paths. I think that you also mentioned that, you know, they're turning their singles into doubles. They're stealing bases, scoring runs. So, you know, we talked about that it just takes one of these teams that if they win 10, 11 games in a row, and some of the other teams that they're, or some of the other teams that are in that division or fighting for a wild card spot, start to falter a little bit, some team is going to sneak up. And this season, it's been the St. Louis Cardinals. I believe they have a, 4.5 game lead right now in that wild card for that second spot. So we talked about how the loser of that NL West division is going to have that number one spot for sure, because they're going to end up with 100 wins. And now you have the St. Louis Cardinals that have now won 11 games in a row. And it's crazy to think that they've been an underdog, I think, in every single game this series against the Brewers. They've just gotten off to a very hot start, and they're kind of riding the course for the rest of the game. So, this is another example, is that, are you going to come in and be that guy that's going to bet on that red color that's been coming up on the roulette wheel?
Or
are you
the guy
that bets the other way? And if you're betting the other way, you're losing a lot of money right now. So, you know, kind of ride the hot hand, which are the St. Louis Cardinals right now. And they get Jack Flaherty back this, I think he's pitching tomorrow for them. So,
Really?
Yeah, that's a huge boost.
When I've looked at the making my tally site pick about the cards, I've handicapped each game in a heartbeat. I've just clicked on the cards.
Yeah.
Like you say, red numbers keep going up. I've just been following them. I think they've been dogs in six of those 11 wins, which is frankly ridiculous. They just really, the games are sort of handicapped as standalone events rather than as a team on an absolute hot streak. They've got a young, aggressive team in terms of base running. They've just gone for it. They've just taken the handbrake off Tommy Edman, Harrison Bader, even like Edmund Sosa. Tyler O'Neill's been great.
Yeah.
They're pushing singles into doubles. Harrison Bader scored on a sack fly last night from second, tagged up at second and made it round by the time Avisail Garcia had got the throw in. One of my little harebrained theories, Moonaf, that I've came up with all by myself this afternoon. I think the last time I did this, we managed to disprove it inside about 48 hours. but we've talked about the Cardinals and the older pitching staff. So we're on a little look. Obviously, Adam Wainwright, who started 30 games, age 39. The Luis Garcia, who's older, but he hasn't pitched that much. Miles Mikolas, 32 years old. Who else is up there? Jay Happ, obviously, he started 9 games for them at 38 years of age. Andrew Miller's up there at 36. But if the 20 pitchers who've pitched the most innings in MLB this year, 9 of them are 30 plus, which is quite an outlying stat. So in this season, it's seems to be suiting the older arms, as proven by that stat. And I just think maybe that with 2020, there was no minor league, so the rookies and the younger pitchers weren't able to get stretched out at all. And then there was only 60 games in the majors. So any younger pitchers that were pitching in the majors, your Jack Flaherty's or whatever example, didn't have time to get the amount of innings under their belt. So I think the Cards might have completely by accident stumbled on the right side of this trend. I'm sure it's not something they sat down and worked out and said, we need older arms because of what happened last year. So I think completely by accident, they've stumbled into this little system of getting these older arms that are carrying them down the stretch and over the line. Moon, after you, do you put any faith in my theory, or is it absolute bollocks?
I think it makes a lot of sense because we talked about last season, there was only 60 games in the majors last year, right? And then that's almost about 30% of the games that you would regularly play in a given year. So I think that tax on your arm for some of the older guys didn't build up versus having to pitch a full 162 games last year versus only 60 games this year. So I think that's something you're onto, right? And then, you know, some of these guys maybe early on in the season, this season, weren't playing or weren't pitching that many innings. So that tax and that arm soreness that we talk about and that rest that some of these older guys need, it didn't really come into fruition this year because of what happened last year and the amount of games that were played last year. So, you know, they just found a way to, you know, pitch well and they're doing well. And I mean, it's not the big household names that we talk about that are the star-studded pitchers, but they're just finding ways to win games. And I think that's just what it is in the MLB, find a way to win games, whether it's been pitching or whether it's been with hitting.
Yeah, and again, some of the older names, I say Robbie Ray, we talk about, he's on the right side of that. Max Scherzer, obviously, he's having an Indian summer. So, so possibly something in it. They'll all get blown up now this week as I've dragged that out. Division races, Moonaf, the Giants keep on going, two games ahead, and the Astros have a magic number that's coming down as well.
Yeah, Giants picked up a crucial one more game to their lead last night with the Dodgers losing to the Rockies and then the Giants winning against the Padres last night. I think both of those teams are in action again today against the Padres. Are the Giants and then the Rockies and the Dodgers get together. Max Scherzer, I think, on the mound for the Dodgers. So, you know, this is going to be it would have been a lot of fun to see if this series, if these two teams had matched up in the last week of the season for like three games to determine the division. But we're keeping an eye on this, and I'm holding on to a Giants ticket to win that division. So I'm closely watching this game. And the Astros, I mean, their offense just obliterated the Angels pitching this past week. And I think they have another game tonight. I think they've scored in double digit runs in both of the games so far. So that number is down to 3 for them. Hopefully if they can pick up another victory today. And if the A's lose, I think that magic number will come down even more. So we can say that the Astros are all but have locked up that division for the NL West. You know, those are kind of the two divisions that we're kind of keeping an eye on. And then, you know, NL East, it's still kind of up in the air, but nobody really wants to win it.
Yeah. Well, the Braves they've won 4 in a row now. So they've made a little bit of a play that, Philly have won two in a row against the Pirates, but they are making hard work of it. Atlanta just seem to be turning the screw a little bit with that little streak they've been on. As far as the Dodgers are concerned, that's always going to be a tricky series in Colorado, as limited as the Rockies are. They do have an excellent home record, so that was always going to be tricky for them. As far as the wild card is concerned, Moonaf, the Red Sox with a 2-game lead, the damn Yankees are hanging around half a game ahead of the Blue Jays. Where do you see this going? Red Sox have got the Mets coming up.
Yeah, they.
They haven't. Have they?
They already played them twice.
They've just played the Mets.
Yeah. So I think it was only like a 2-game series for those two teams. I think they have the day off today. Do the Red Sox. I believe the Yankees are off also.
Yeah, Red Sox have got the Yankees coming up over the weekend.
Yeah, so a big series for both of these teams this weekend. So Yeah, I think something to these yellow jerseys that the Red Sox are wearing. They said they're not going to stop wearing them until they lose a game. So they've now won 7 games in a row. And we talked about after the trade deadline where this team was kind of faltering and you know, losing games. But now they're on a great winning streak. Everybody's healthy. I think that's a big thing for this team. They're putting up runs. Kyle Schwarber has been big. Alex Verdugo, Xander Bogaerts. I mean, the list goes on and on for this team.
Bobby D's been on a bit of a tear, hasn't he? He's been hitting.
Yeah, and I'm surprised his name hasn't really come up in Rookie of the Year talks. It's kind of crazy because he's been on a tear ever since the trade deadline. But when you're going up against like bigger names like Wander Franco and Randy or Rosarena, your name's not going to be mentioned. But if you kind of look at his stats, I think the Red Sox have their first baseman of the future in Bobby Dalbec. But yeah, they won 7 in a row, a huge series coming up with the Yankees this weekend. You know, they're battling obviously for that, just kind of secure the wild card spots there. But yeah, definitely keep an eye on this series for sure this weekend.
My Robbie Ray strikeout bet has hit the front now with Garrett Cole just in behind him. If I had any sense, I'd be heading over to Prop Swap to get that ticket listed up there. It's America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available. Browse the activity feed to stay in the know. There's a loyalty rewards program and much more. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will match it up to $500. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. Okay, so we just kind of touched on it then, Moon, after these series that are coming up at the weekend. Yankees, Red Sox,
yeah.
And then they say the teams that they're not playing each other, but Dodgers, Giants, Braves, Cards and Phillies are really the ones that we need to be, the teams that we need to be watching.
Yeah, none of these teams are playing each other head to head. I'll just quickly say who, you know, these teams are facing. So, like we mentioned, the Dodgers and the Giants both have they do. So, Giants and Dodgers are both in action tonight. But then starting Friday, the only series that really kind of stuck out that has playoff implications is the Red Sox and the Yankees. But the Dodgers are going to head to Arizona. And then the Giants are going into Coors Field this weekend. So
yeah, they've got to deal with exactly what the Dodgers have just going to
yeah, kind of
just had to deal with.
Yeah, so that we'll keep an eye out on that for sure. And the Astros and the A's are going to get together. So maybe the Astros can close it out this weekend for that division. And then Atlanta is going into San Diego this weekend. So I think they have a doubleheader possibly tomorrow because I see that one game was suspended, so I think
there's a game in the bottom of the fifth, which the Padres lead 5-4, and that'll be getting completed tomorrow before the main event at 10:10 p.m. Pacific time, I think.
Yeah, so and then the Phillies, again, they got 2 out of 3 from the Orioles, and now they have Pittsburgh coming into town, so again, I think they probably need to get all 4 of these games if they want to they want to win that division. And, you know, I think San Diego can definitely give Atlanta some trouble this weekend. So, you know, our eyes are going to be, or at least my eyes will be glued to the MLB schedule here. And I know we have football and everything going on, but, you know, it's exciting watching every single day, looking at these final scores and how kind of the odds are shifting and things like that.
As it stands then, Moon, I thought you sweating the most. Is it Phillies really now? Is that what you're your main attraction is? You've either got stuff that's either winning or won, or it's pretty much toast. Is it the Phillies that you're watching?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Astros are have pretty much locked it up. I think that's maybe going to be sweat free for us. Fingers crossed, they can just get that done, get that over the line for us. I picked up both Atlanta and the Phillies at plus odds at, I think it was like 4-1 for each one of them to win this division. Obviously, I had a bigger bet on the Phillies just because it was the strength of schedule thing that we talked about. But if they can, I'm okay with one of those two winning. Obviously, I would prefer the Phillies, but don't want to get too greedy. But the bigger one I am keeping an eye on is that the Giants and the Dodgers, and I have a ticket on the Giants to win that division. So You know, if the Giants can get it across the line in that NL West division, I will be very, very happy with the Astros, the Giants, and the Phillies or the Braves locking up that NL East division.
Yeah, I think I'm the same as you. The Astros was a big one, yeah. Because we went to that well regularly, didn't we? Sort of April, yeah. Even maybe to the end of May, sort of 4, 5, 6 times, dipped our toe around about plus 130, plus 120, a couple, yeah, of plus 115s in there before all of a sudden it suddenly flipped and the Astros went short price favourites. The Mets were a team I did similar with. Obviously, that's gone the other way around. And then, yeah, my couple of player props, the two that we talked about, Shohei, yeah, for MVP and Robbie Ray for the strikeouts. They're the two that are going to get me ahead for my season longs. The over-unders are still all in the balance. Mm-hmm. And we can revisit them again further down the line as the season comes to a conclusion.
I did message you that I did pick up a 101 ticket on the Red Sox, so we'll come back and win that division.
Not
a significant bet I put down, but
get that on prop swap, win yourself a slice of pizza.
Yeah, so you know, I'll keep an eye on that for sure. I actually texted Dave about it, and he's like, it's interesting, intriguing, but I wouldn't get down on it. That's what he said. But I was like, let me put something a little bit down just in case something happens. So the Red Sox are winning right now, but you know, the Rays, I think, are doing their best to kind of lock up that division. I think we only have about 10 to 11 games left for each team here. So yeah. I think next Sunday, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, I think we'll have the results and the season over, and then we'll be talking about playoffs. But yeah, I think those are the kind of ones.
There were way worse 100-1 shots you could have taken. I mean, I've backed some three-figure stuff in my time, and there are way worse ones. Yeah. That one was feasible. And like you say, for the price of a cup of coffee, it was absolutely worth chucking a fiver or something on. Yeah. Picks for this weekend then, Moonaf. We did okay last week. Tally side's flying. So let's back it up. We've talked the talk. So let's walk the walk. You may lead off because this system seems to be going all right the last few weeks. Let's not rock the boat. Moonaf, what have you got for us?
Yeah, let's start it with Friday tomorrow. I'm going to take the Giants run line here. It may be plus money, but maybe a minus 105 here. But I would be okay with a money line bet also. But I'm going to take the run line versus the Rockies. Like we mentioned, it's Alex Wood versus Peter Lambert on the mound for the Rockies. The Giants, like I said, they're scratching and crawling for this NL West division. So they won every game for this rest of the season. And if they want this division, so Alex Wood on the mound for the Giants, like I mentioned, this season he is 3-2 on the road. The ERA is a bit high, but against the Rockies this season, he is 2-0 with a 3.06 ERA. The Giants are 12-4 against the Rockies this season. And then on the mound for the Rockies is Peter Lambert. And I feel like this is more of a fade on him. His splits are really atrocious. All of his ERAs, day, night, home, road, they're all above 7. In two appearances against the Giants, he's pitched 12 innings, allowed 12 hits, 6 earned runs. The Giants are batting .255 against him. Lambert has allowed at least 5 earned runs in 4 out of the last 5 starts, and all of those runs allowed have come within 5 innings or less. So maybe you also want to take a look at the run line for the first 5 innings on the Giants if you really want to, you know, just create a stack with the Giants. And over Peter Lambert's last 10 starts, the Rockies are 7-3 in those games. So I think this might be another game that, like I've done previously, that kind of creating that stack of money line, run line, -2.5 in Giants team total. So, but just for show pick purposes, I am taking the Giants run line tomorrow night against the Rockies. And then my dog, it's also going to go tomorrow. It's going to be the A's first 5 inning money line versus the Astros. And I think this is something that you tipped me off to, Malcolm, was Zach Greinke coming back from COVID. He's going up against Frankie Montas. And I think this should be a dog price because of, again, the name recognition of the Astros. Now, well, they've been playing. You know, we talk about the Yankees tax, the Red Sox tax, the Dodgers tax. I think the Astros are probably in that conversation now. But Greinke has been faltering, like we said, since he's returned from COVID. Over his last 3 starts, Greinke has allowed 19 earned runs in 13 innings pitch. he's solid against the A's, but I think in a shortened five innings game that we're kind of, you know, taking the first five inning money line here, I think if the A's can get to him early, they should have a chance here to win the first five. On the mound for the A's, like I said, Frankie Montas, he's been pitching real well for the A's since the start of August. He's gone 55 innings since the start of August and only allowed 15 earned runs in that span. In August, he had an ERA of 2.03, and then so far in September, it's at an even three ERA. So, and against the Astros this season so far, he is 2-1 with a 2.04 ERA, 17 2/3 innings pitch, allowed 18 hits and just 4 earned runs. So, like I mentioned, if the A's can get to Greinke early, they should be able to maybe carry that into at least the end of five innings. So I'm taking the A's first five innings money line versus the Astros tomorrow night. So just to recap again, Friday, both of my picks are going off. The log is going to be the Giants run line versus the Rockies. Also take a look at the team total. And then Friday also the A's first five inning money line with the versus the Astros, Zach Greinke versus Frankie Montas.
Yeah, I love that move, especially the Greinke pick. You're right, I went to him believing there might be some COVID side effects last week, and that was the one where the D-backs bullpen blew me up. I'd taken Zach Gallen. So I actually got the process right, but picked the wrong bet.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree with you then. Frankie Montas has quietly been outstanding as well. I must admit, in the other game, Peter Lambert, someone who hasn't got on my radar at all, for the Rockies, but yeah, and that seems like a really straightforward one. That's something that doesn't really need overthinking. If you accidentally stumbled across those numbers, they then speak for themselves, and that would jump off the page. So yeah, good luck with those. I'm going on Saturday for both of my games. I'm going to go to the Yankees Red Sox, and I'm going to take the over in this game. It's Nestor Cortes against Nick Pivetta. Now, I'm fading everybody. I'm fading both pitchers and both bullpens and taking both offenses as well. Cortes is 2-2 with a 2.79 ERA. He did give up three runs in four innings pitched versus Texas last time out. So that sort of start will benefit us for the purposes of this bet. His last appearance against the Red Sox this season, he actually gave up three runs in just two innings as well. So something similar to that will do. He's been slightly worse on the road than he has been at home. His road ERA is 3.19. So all of those three things, I am happy to add on to our run total here. Nick Pivetta's 9-7, a 4.63 ERA. He's given up 17 runs in his last 20 innings. It's been all over the place. That included three starts, giving up four runs, three straight starts, giving up four runs without getting out of the fifth inning. He reached the fifth inning just once in those. One of those starts was four earned runs in just 1.2 innings against the Yankees. So again, all of those things, these runs are adding up in my mind. The total's getting towards 11, 12, 13. Both bullpens are okay. They're in the top six in WAR, but I haven't got great ERAs, 3.65 and 3.94, particularly Boston, who've got a middle of the road results there. So both teams are capable of slugging, as we know the Red Sox are, back at full health and full strength. So I think this could be a bit of a wild one. I can just see consistent run scoring. I wrote down, for the sake of silliness here, 11-7 Red Sox, but something along them lines, and we'll get the over in that one. You might be able to tell me in a minute, Moonoff, where you think that line might land, actually, that over under. For my dog, it's Kansas City Royals pitcher John Heasley and Tarik Skubal of the Tigers. It wouldn't be an MLB gambling podcast if we didn't get one of these young Tigers pitchers in. But actually, I'm going to fade him slightly. I'm going to take an over on the first five. I think I've had a look at similar games tonight, and I think this over will come in at 4.5. It might come in at 5, but I'd be more like, I think you'll find 4.5 somewhere. So I'm slightly fading Skubal. Just recently, his last three starts have all got exactly three innings. He just seems to be tiring. A little bit. He's given up two runs in a couple of those as well. We already talked about the younger arms who might be time as we get to the end of this long season. And Scoobal all of a sudden has just stopped. Earlier in the season, he was going 5, 6, 7 innings. He was striking out 8, 9, 10 batters. Last three starts, exactly 3 innings each. He only struck out 2 batters in one of those. So there's just signs of a little bit of fatigue there, possibly. John Heasey for Kansas, very small sample size. It's only his second start, but in his first one last week, came against the Mariners. He pitched 4 innings, gave up 4 runs on 6 hits, including 2 homers. So the line of 4 or 5, I can see this easily being maybe 4-3, 4-4 by the time we get to the fifth inning. So I'm happy to take the overs on that one. So a quick recap, it's the overs, Yankees Red Sox on Saturday, and it's a first 5 over, Kansas versus Detroit, also on Saturday. Moonaf, give me that run line for New York Yankees and the Red Sox. Give me the over under for that one.
Yeah, I think it should probably come out around 9. I think you're looking at 9 or 9.5 in this game. So I don't think it'll get to 10 with these two pitchers, with Cortez and Pivetta. So yeah, I'm probably looking at a 9 or 9.5 in this game.
My 11-7 covers that, yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Especially if the Red Sox win and they're wearing those yellow uniforms, they've just been breaking with those City Edition uniforms that they've been wearing. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, when you have two pitchers and then these two offenses that can put up runs, and how hot the bats have been for the Red Sox, I mean, we might be seeing a scenario where the Red Sox are probably cover that on their own if it comes out 9, 9.5. Yeah, I think the one note that we want to mention for the Tigers is that I read a note that they're limiting Tarik Skubal and Casey Mize to either 3 innings or 50 pitches, just to kind of protect their arms. You know,
it looked suspicious, the fact that all 3 were exactly 3. I checked to see if there was an opener. Maybe I thought they might have piggybacked him after an opener, but it did look like there was some kind of scheme behind it. And I'm glad you've highlighted that.
Yeah, I think they came out and said that they're just trying to protect their arms because obviously they're not, you know, playing for the division or even a wild card at this point. And there, these two guys, Mize and Tarik Skubal, are going to be their pitchers of the future. So no reason to add tax to that arm and let them go, you know, 6, 7 innings, risking, you know, injury. So I think that's a very smart move by the Tigers there and AJ Hinch and their front office. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think that with these two offenses, you know, Tigers are sneaky, man. They'll put up, you know, 3 runs, and then Kansas City again with what Salvador Perez has been doing, and some of the other bats that they have in that lineup, you know, especially that we talked about how bad the Tigers bullpen is. You know, if they come in and you know, give up a couple more runs there, I think this should definitely get over the first 5 over for you.
Excellent. So there we go. Hopefully there's 4 winners, and then we can add to those the picks of Scott Reichel, who sent us his lock and dog, and here they are now.
Hey guys, Scott Reichel back here with your lock and dog for the weekend. Quickly recapping how we did over the week. We ended up splitting, but we did win the dog with the Cardinals' first 5 against the Brewers. So ended up picking up 0.85 units, so a nice winning week. Look for another winning weekend here over the next few days. Starting with the lock on Saturday, I like the Cardinals -1.5 at the Cubs. Cardinals have won each of their last 11 games. Meanwhile, Chicago has lost 6 of its last 7 games. Lester's on the mound for St. Louis. Last month, 35 2/3 innings pitched, 2.27 ERA. He's been fantastic. And the Cardinals have won 6 of Lester's last 8 starts. 5 of those wins have come by at least 2 runs. I think the Cardinals should roll against the Cubs team that has been really tanking for the last couple of months. Now, looking at the dog on Sunday, I'm going to take the Mariners' money line at the Angels. The Mariners have won each of their last 4 games, while the Angels have lost each of their last 6 games. Seattle has also dominated the season series, as the Mariners have won 8 of the first 13 meetings. And looking at the pitching matchup, you have Marco Gonzalez on the mound for Seattle. Last 3 starts, 18 innings pitched, 2.5 ERA. And if the Mariners are going to be a dog, it's going to be because Otani's pitching for the Angels, and Otani has really struggled over the last month. 23 1/3 innings pitched, 5.4 ERA. I think Seattle's still being disrespected, and I think they should get the job done. Other than that, though, that has been your lock and dog for the weekend. Let it ride.
There you go. Thanks for those, Scott. Good luck with them. And that, Moonaf, is that another weekend slate of MLB covered. exciting times. Looking forward to watching a lot of these games. This weekend, Moonaf, it's the Ryder Cup. I am off down to the southwest, somewhere in the Forest of Dean, over on the Welsh border, over on the border of Wales, to drink beer and eat kebabs and curries and watch a lot of golf and just generally get leery with all the boys.
There you go.
So I'm setting off around about 7 a.m. I might have to listen to a couple of the first foursomes or whatever. I might get on the radio in the car because it's a long drive, and then I'll be in position to watch everything after that. Do we have to get all partisan, and are you going to USA, USA me and all that, or do we not really care who wins?
I'm not. I don't have interest right now in this Ryder Cup. Obviously, I will be rooting for USA, but if I'm not, I'm going to have to hear it from Boston Gapper if I'm not rooting for USA. But yeah, it should be a fun Ryder Cup there. You know, again, so much going on in sports with baseball, football, college football, you know, golf, just so much going on. I can't even think of it right now, but exciting times. You know, we're about a week removed now from the MLB season ending. So we'll still be grinding out these podcasts, keeping an eye on everything. And Malcolm is going to be off the grid in the trees somewhere, climbing up trees and things like that. So I will be keeping my eye on these scores for sure. Not sure if you're going to have any connection or service or internet out there in the wilderness.
Oh yeah, I will have. Whether you get any sense out of me is another thing, because I've planned on nothing but mischief. You mentioned the Boston Capper. I watched The King of Staten Island the other day, and Bill Burr is in that film, and I just couldn't take it seriously, because all I could see and hear was the Capper. That's all I could see in here. obviously, like, I don't know that many Bostonians, but like, I think they're the only two accents I'm really familiar with, and it, every time he opened his mouth, it made me laugh a lot. So yeah, that was entertaining. But yeah, looking forward to the weekend. Yeah, I've got no strong partisan leanings. The Ryder Cup's great for a bet, and it's great for a DFS, so that'll be my angle. But I certainly shan't be heartbroken if they don't win one way or the other. Newcastle are going to lose to Watford on Saturday afternoon. So if anybody wants to print some free money, fill your boots on Watford. that'll cover everything you need. Yeah, and that's it. So yeah, cheers for listening, everybody. Enjoy your weekend, enjoy the golf and the NFL, wherever else you're up to. I will speak to you on Monday night.
Yes, sir.
I will be a broken man. You're gonna have to do all the heavy lifting.
No worries.
If you get anything out of me, it'll be an absolute miracle. But yeah, we'll land these picks in the meantime, so I can just revel in the glory of those. Cheers for listening, everybody. Rate and review in all the usual places. Get those 5-star reviews in on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. SGPN.com. All the fantasy stuff you need over there as well. Absolutely outstanding. The referee chart that we talked about, the DFS flow chart. These are the things. This is the content that we're here for. So get involved with all of that. Enjoy your weekend, everyone. Thanks, Moonaf. And we'll see you down the road. Cheers.